Could you imagine where you'd be minus Calvary, minus the cross, minus Christ? We'd all be yet in our sin, still be sinners. We'd still love sin, but we'd be miserable. Remember how miserable and lonely life was. And even after being saved, you can get back there. Sin is saved to the lost man. Sin is miserable, but for a saved person, you talking about miserable? You're suspended between two worlds. You can't have fun. At least when you're lost, there's pleasure in sin for a season. But when you're saved and the Holy Ghost lives in you, you can't enjoy sin. If you can enjoy sin and love it and live for it, you're lost. It's simple as that. You better quit playing games. If you love sin, it's simple. You are lost. And it is misery. I mean absolute misery to be saved and in sin. But all the joy when you can make a trip to Calvary. And real thanks to Calvary. I'm not that man anymore. I don't live there anymore. I don't go there anymore. I don't do those things anymore. Yes, I've slipped. Yes, I've fallen short, but I don't live that no more. That is not my lifestyle anymore. That is not my desire anymore. And it wasn't because anything good I did, but it was because of what He did. And He put a new nature in you and in me. And what a blessing. What a blessing. It's good to be saved. Since Jesus came into my heart, that's what happened at Calvary. Thanks to Calvary. What a blessing. Anybody else before we move on? Just real quick. I'm not begging or probing or prodding. I just don't want you to miss an opportunity and ride home defeated because you shoulda, woulda, coulda. All right? Okay. Turning your Bible to Judges chapter 6. I know what time it is. I'm going to do this in supersonic speed tonight. If that's possible. Judges chapter 6, page 89 in your book. R.A. Torrey said, if we would pray aright, the first thing we should do is to see to it that we really get an audience with God, that we really get into His very presence. Before a word of petition is offered, we should have the definite consciousness that we are talking to God and should believe that He is listening and is going to grant the thing that we ask of Him. My, what a statement. Judges chapter 6, you know the story well. This is Gideon. And the subject this evening is how prayer can help us overcome doubt and fear. Those are two huge realities that whether you're saved or not. A lot of people think, well, when you get saved, you never have to deal with fear or doubt again. Well, that's just not true. To hear some of these TV preachers and televangelists, supposedly, and I've got a member of my family, and I'm not going to call his name, but he's done fell off the wagon. I mean, he has lost his mind about this healing stuff. I believe God can heal anybody. I do. I believe God can heal anybody of anything at any time. I believe that. But healing has everything to do with God and His power and hardly anything to do with us and our power and our anything to do with us. It's all whether God wants to or not. But doubting and fear are getting saved didn't remove those things. God didn't give us the spirit of fear. But we do contend with fear. Anybody in here want to be honest and humble enough this evening to say amen to that? Are you fearless? No. Remember them shirts and that saying that got popular for a while, Brother Dennis, no fear? Hey, listen, it sounds good. Might sell a lot of t-shirts, but the reality is we all face fear. I walked out my backyard the other day, and I looked down, and there he was, Mr. Snake. And I realized real fast, I have not overcome all my fears. And it was just a black snake. But I could tell it wasn't just a regular black snake. And I got a golf club, and I went to get him to go away. And that thing took off like lightning fast. It was a black racer. And he was striking and going crazy, so he lost his life. You say, oh, don't kill the black snake. Well, the black snake shouldn't have struck at me. He should have feared me. I feared him. But anyway, we deal with fear. Gideon, verse 36, Judges 6, 36. The Bible said, and Gideon said unto God, what a small word, two letters, if, but it's huge. That word if is so big. It opens up such a huge door. If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. Now think about that statement. Gideon said, if, Lord, if you'll save Israel by my hand, like you said. Well, God said he was going to do it. So why was the if there? Because Gideon is a lot like me and you. How many promises have God given us, and has God guaranteed us, and we allow that if to creep in to our own life. Like that New Testament verse, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And so Gideon said, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. Again, he said, if you're going to save Israel by my hand. And keep in mind, Gideon is doubting himself really more than he's doubting God. And we're all prone to do that. I can't tell you how much I battle that. It'd be preaching time, and I'm thinking, Lord, if I know you give me this message, I know you call me to preach, but if they going to get anything tonight, you better do it. And I know God's come through time and time and time again, but we're prone to doubt. We're prone to fear when it's clear that God's already promised he was going to deliver them. He was going to use Gideon to do it. And so, let's look at it quickly. All right, lightning bolt speed. It had been 7 long years of extreme poverty. Every Hebrew harvest had been captured and consumed by the hands of the Midianites. Field and flock alike were taken away in Israel because of its sin, was left exiled in caves and mountain dens. Surrounded by the enemy on all sides, they had no hope of freedom or escape. Physically impoverished and spiritually indifferent, they prayed to God, and in response to their prayers, the Lord sent a prophet. This prophet not only called on Israel to repent, but promised them deliverance in the process. Well, that's the right recipe. The prophet said, repent and deliverance will come. A lot of people want deliverance, but few people want to put that ingredient in there of repentance. But I'll tell you, if anything ever good and lasting is going to come in your life or mine, it'll come at the end of repentance. Repentance is not a bad word. Repentance is a good word. Repentance is not God being mean and harsh. Repentance is the grace of God. The fact that He allows us to repent is gracious and good. And so, while the prophet visited the people, the Lord visited Gideon, and a man who was plagued with doubt and insecurity. Gideon's family was poor in Manasseh, and by his own admission, he was least in his father's house. Assuring Gideon of his own valor, God assigned this newfound judge with the responsibility to lead Israel in battle against the Midianites. And though a visit from the divine should have been enough ammunition to charge the enemy with full force, Gideon was overcome with hesitation. Oh my goodness, does anybody identify? Can anybody associate with Gideon? You feel like you're the least in the bunch. You feel like you're the weakest of the crowd. You feel like you have less ability, less know-how. And like, surely there's somebody that can do better than I could. Boy, I feel that way. I feel that way all the time. But ain't you glad God chose the base things to confound the wise?
Amen.
Yes. That way He gets the glory. Amen. And so Gideon was battling with that. And he was hesitant. And as he prepared for battle, he did what so many people are tempted to do in times of uncertainty. He put out a fleece to God. The word "if" may be small in its spelling, but it can handicap our faith once employed in our prayers. This is the way Gideon prayed, and Gideon said to God, If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. The Lord had already confirmed deliverance by His word that He should have been that should have been enough. But Gideon needed a sign. I'm not going to preach against asking God for a sign. However, asking God for a sign and needing a sign is a sign of our small faith. I don't think it's a sin. Say, Lord, I need you to show me something. I need you to verify this for me. I need a sign. You ever prayed that way? You ain't got to speak up out loud. You ain't got to say it verbally or raise your hand. But I'll tell you, I'll be the mouthpiece for us tonight. I have. I have prayed before and said, Lord, I need to know. I mean, Lord, if you just let me know, I'd do it. But I don't know. Show me something. I remember asking Him, and He don't always give you a sign. I remember when the Lord called me here, I threw a fleece out to the Lord. I said, Lord, give me a sign. I need to know. I don't want to, listen, and I wasn't being selfish. I just didn't want to miss it and mess up this place and the other place. I didn't want to mess my family up. I wanted to know. But you know, everything, God don't always give you a sign. If He did, faith would be useless. Our faith would never grow. But sometimes God will give you a sign. And He did for Gideon. The Lord had already confirmed deliverance by His word, and that should have been enough, but Gideon needed a sign. God, in his patience and providence, answered according to Gideon's request and brought great victory to Israel under his leadership. To be certain, Gideon's asking for a sign was riddled with doubt. But the one truth we can glean from his prayer is that God is willing to hear and answer our prayers, even if they are weak. Please leave with that this evening. If you didn't get nothing else tonight, if you don't get nothing else tonight, get this. This will help you. This one little truth has hindered me, Brother Ned, it's probably hampered and hurt my prayer life more than any other thing. Is when I feel weak and I feel inadequate and I feel like I have failed, the devil will jump on that with 2 feet and say, there is no point in even trying to pray. God ain't gonna hear you. This is a waste of time. You're so weak and useless. And what's the point? You failed the Lord. This is futile. So why even try? That is a winning strategy for the devil. And it works. It works in his favor because then we quit praying. But look at Gideon and remember that. Yes, he was weak. Yes, he was doubting. Yes, he was unsure. But he prayed. And God heard him and answered him and gave him victory. Even weak praying works. So I'm just not a prayer warrior. Steve Presley told me, I told this the other night, you wasn't here, but Wanda was here, and I told about how you told me that story about your dad. Or you might have been here. No, I don't remember. You wasn't here. You're sick. But I was talking about how you told me you called Mary Lou when your daddy was, he found out your daddy had cancer. He called Mary Lou because in his mind, and rightfully so, Mary Lou was a prayer warrior. She knew how to grab hold to the horns of the altar and get a prayer through. Well, Steve called her because he didn't feel confident enough in himself and his own prayer life. He needed some help and what to do. And she just said, go get in your closet and pray. Well, Mary Lou didn't pray that prayer for him. She just encouraged him to go pray. But in and of himself, he felt weak and inadequate, but he went and done it. And God heard and answered and gave 5 years to his daddy to live exactly what he prayed for. It didn't take the prayer of Mary Lou Helms, a prayer warrior. It took the prayer of a young man, a young son who felt weak in his faith, but God heard and answered and delivered 5 years extra of life. And he told me, Steve told me, he said, I was crying. He said, I thought my daddy was going to die right then. And in that weak, vulnerable moment, God heard and answered. And you'll never forget that, will you? So don't stop. Don't give up and don't quit. And don't listen to the lie of the devil and say, well, ain't no sense in me even praying. God, I'm so weak and useless and doubting. Do you know even the, oh, this is good. You got, please take this too. Tack this on. This is good. Brother Jackie, one of the devil's favorite tricks is he will take us when we're weak and he will quote scripture to us in the wrong context, in the wrong way. You ever had the devil, he did it to Jesus, that's right. You ever had the devil say, you'll be like, oh, I'm weak, Lord, I don't know, I'm unsure. And the devil will just whisper, a double-minded man's unstable in all of his ways. And he'll quote you Bible verses that'll make you go worse in the doubt and make you want to give up and think, well, goodness, ain't no way God's going to hear me. I'm unstable. I'm double-minded. I'm doubtful. What's the point of me praying? I'm saying pray anyway. Even when you feel like it ain't going to work, Gideon proves to us God hears weak, wobbly prayers and answers them. It don't have to be polished praying. I believe some of the greatest prayers ever been prayed didn't even form words. The Bible talks about how he takes our groanings and utterances. Some of the greatest praying I've ever done was just simply moans and groans and weeps and crying. Not a strong, felt weak, felt like I was the low man on the totem pole, like there ain't no way God should ever hear me. Here's something. When you feel like God should hear you and like you deserve to be heard, you probably ain't going to get much done praying. But when you really get a hold of God, it's when you are so humble before the God of heaven, you realize, I'm talking to God. I'm nobody. I'm nothing. There's nothing prideful in that. We should feel weak. We should feel. Gideon felt like, there ain't no way God can use me to deliver Israelites from the Midianites. Ain't no way God would use me. God has used way less than you to accomplish great things. And so pray. Pray even when you don't feel like it. Pray when you're weak, when you're doubting. Prayer is an open invitation to open our hearts before the Lord, even if they are enamored with hesitation and insecurity. Why would God answer this reluctant request? Because it was just that, a request. And God is in the business of relieving His children of such trepidation. It is true that the man who learns to pray by faith will be less inclined to pray by fleeces. My, what a statement. Learn to pray by faith and you'll be less apt to pray by fleeces. Learn to pray in faith believing. Brother Ned closes about every one of his prayers with that little phrase. And I've learned to pray it years ago. Probably way over 10 years ago. I know, probably way longer than that. When he gets done praying, he'll say, we pray this in faith believing. In faith believing. If we learn to pray in faith believing, you don't need a sign. If we'll just learn to believe the God we're talking to. He's capable. When we're incapable, He's capable. That's the whole point in praying. He's powerful when we're not. That's the reason. If we had the power and the prominence and could take care of the problem, well, why would we need to pray? No, we are the weak ones. We are the insecure ones. And that's why we're praying to the God who can and who will hear us in our sincerity and answer our prayers. God will rid him of the fleece by answering his prayers. Never again do we see Gideon putting out his fleece to God. Prayer then, even in its most hesitant form, can illuminate the weakest of saints to rise in faith. Prayer gives assurance to the doubtful, hope to the insecure, and strength to the feeble-hearted. Prayer leads to better praying because prayer leads to stronger faith. What a statement. You ought to underline that. Prayer leads to better praying. What a profound statement. You say, I'm not good at praying. We're done. Then pray. Yes, ma'am.